is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do do, I'm happy that you're doing that do and that you've decided to do that do with me. There's a whole lot of things that are going on around here. From the people that are salty about not making it to Dubai to, I don't know, any number of things. I gotta admit, though, Philip Davis looks real good. I wish they would get him on a weight program. He's kind of heavy around the midsection. But for whatever it is worth, I think it was a wonderful representation of the Bahamas by our prime minister and the nation's leader, Mr. Davis. I'll get to it. Give me a second. You know, sometimes we forget that we live in a community that's called the Caribbean. A lot of people like Graham Weatherford will say that we do not live in the Caribbean, but for whatever it's worth, we look like them, we sound like them, and in many instances, we act like them, right? So there's something that's happening, and I like to watch her. If you follow me for any extended period, you would know that I'm quite a fan of, as much as you all continue to say that I am such a bigot and a anti-feminist and a misogynist, and people say all sorts of unchristian things about my grandmother's very Christian grandson. But despite it all, I have a love affair going on with Mia Motley. I do. It's a love affair, I promise you. All right. As a matter of fact, the only Caribbean female politician that I love more than Mia Motley is Lisa Hanna. Right? I believe it is the will of God for me and Lisa Hanna to somehow be together, politically, of course, at some point in my life. So we'll figure that out, right? So Lisa Hanna is my top one. Mia Motley running a neck and neck second place. And Mia is about to go for the Battle of Barbados come tomorrow. She's running. It is going to be a three-way race. But I'll tell you what is curiously interesting. Although many people say that Mia Motley has done a wonderful job as Prime Minister of Barbados. And of course, you know, Barbados has just gone to the Republic status. And of course, Barbados has been doing all sorts of wonderful things. I am now understanding that the tone coming out of Barbados is that Bajan people, right, or Barbadians, however you choose to call them, they're not as in love with her as the rest of the world is. Some people contend that she is more like the president or the prime minister of the Caribbean rather than the prime minister of Barbados. Some people are actually saying things like, you know, if she had to run for an international portfolio, that would be an easier win for her. And it's because when you consider the political topography of Barbados, right? Barbados has, from what I can tell, local politics where we are talking about things like brown water and roadways that take you into villages, whether it is in St. Lucie or or St. Joseph or St. Michael West. And so you go from those very local issues to national issues, which is Barbados, and it's called from a democracy like the one we have, where there is a monarch, to now the transition to a republic and having its first president. And then there is the more international politics, right, where the first president of the country is female, right? And, you know, I have this wonderful little thing that you could, it don't matter, you could open a cream can. As long as you let a woman do it, you are now a trendsetter, right? Trendsetter. And, but that is where it is. And for whatever it is worth, I think many people, from what I can tell, have understood that Ms. Motley has gotten international politics completely correct. She has even gotten very kind words said about her, not just by those in the Caribbean or in her CARICOM counterparts, but from leaders like the President of the United States of America, and by leaders like the first female vice president, who is also Negro, of the United States of America, right? She's Negro, she's woman, it's many firsts. And quite honestly, I'm not sure if that political collateral transitions into the local politics of Barbados, right? Because I ain't never been to Barbados, and because the only thing I know about Barbados is what I see in the news and what I watch on YouTube, I have to take the people who either live in Barbados word for it or the people that have lived in Barbados word for it, and that is kind of where we're going to go this morning. Now, I have a couple of clips, all right, all of Miss Mia Motley on the international community. There's one with her in Glasgow. There's one with her in her visit to the White House to see the vice president. And she has addressed very pronounced issues in our region. Mia Motley is the one that is talking about the free movement of people throughout the CARICOM group of nations. Why? Because black people like us too poor to afford visas. We need to just be able to go. We all come from the same place at our origin. That's why you got Bain in Nassau, Bain in Jamaica, and Bain in Trinidad. That's why we got Smith in Jamaica and Smith in Haiti. That's why we got Miller in Nassau and Miller in Haiti, because at our core, we all come or have come from the same place. And it is, there is an article that I read in college, the one time I did go. It's called Tides of Humanity, right? And it talks about the establishment of invisible walls created not by a god, but by politicians. And these invisible walls require things like visas to get past. And they are all man-made constructs. They're not natural human constructs. And so you hear Mia Motley talking about that kind of stuff, about how exactly do we move throughout this community, this neighborhood, in a more free and equitable way. You hear her also talking about the rising world temperature and how we need, her message has now become one that is resounding, and it is one that is easily transferable to any one of the islands in the Caribbean. 1.5 to stay alive. That is the goal that all countries affected by global warming are now pushing towards the bigger countries on. But in a more dogged fashion, Mia Motley has gone to the big boys in the world, the G7s, and say, listen, man, let's don't play crazy, all right? One set of fellas around here creating greenhouse gas and one set of fellas drowning. And guess which set of fellas I is? The drowning one, all right? Y'all keep talking about getting the world's temperature down to 2 degrees. I need 1 point, because two means the water to my neck. And I don't like water to my neck that much. So whatever y'all got to do, as a matter of fact, y'all can make all the smoke y'all want. All I know is when the hurricane come and break up Barbados, I come into y'all for money, because y'all create the World Bank and they don't give me no money when things happen. I don't know what they exist for. All right? So America, Germany, France, y'all better go talk to China and hug up and kiss up. When the hurricane come, I'm coming to y'all, because y'all are the reason the planet is overheating. And so, again, you see a very international message. Notably, you also hear things like the Vice President of the United States of America praising up Mia Motley for her very inclusive stand and her work in the area of the LGBT community. Widely speculated, no one ever really knows exactly where her footing is, but she is the Fred Mitchell of Barbados, right? And so, for whatever it is worth, their private life is as private could ever be, but we know what their life's work is. And that is for a more inclusive world where all people are counted, whether they are red or yellow, brown or white. All right? And so that's enough for me. I have, is my guest online yet, Kermit? I still don't have my Zoom guest yet, but I do have a guest in studio. I want to go to the first clip from Mia Motley. Let me see if I can get my guest on the Zoom line, and then I'll come back, I'll introduce my guest, and we'll go from there. So this one is of Mia Motley, and she's at Glasgow, right? Talking to the world leaders and letting them know that, listen, don't blame the Bahamas, don't blame Jamaica, don't blame, and for God's sake, don't blame Barbados, because there's only 200,000 of us. It can't be us eating up the planet, all right? You all have got to take responsibility. What else is curiously interesting is, hopefully she isn't on the back end of the Caribbean wave, you know, because at the first part of the pandemic, it was smart to call a snap. Jamaica did it, and the government won. Trinidad did it, and the government won. And then the tide changed. St. Lucia did it, and it was a landslide victory for the opposition. I got to tell you all about what the tall fella here do, right? And now Brave Davis is the one with the yellow tie all the way in Dubai. You know why? Because the opposition won in landslide. So the question is, does Mia Motley and the BLP have what it takes to turn around the tide of the DLP down there in Barbados? So let's hear the clip from Mia Motley at Glasgow, and then I introduce my guest.
Your Royal Highness, Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the pandemic has taught us that national solutions to global problems do not work. We come to Glasgow with global ambition to save our people and to save our planet, but we now find three gaps. On mitigation, climate pledges or NDCs, without more, we will leave the world on a pathway to 2.7 degrees, and with more, we are still likely to get to 2 degrees. These commitments made by some are based on technologies yet to be developed, and this is at best reckless and at worst dangerous. On finance, we are $20 billion short of the $100 billion, and this commitment, even then, might only be met in 2023. On adaptation, adaptation finance remains only at 25%, not the 50-50 split that was promised nor needed given the warming that is already taking place on this earth. Climate finance to frontline small island developing states declined by 25% in 2019. Failure to provide the critical finance and that of loss and damage is measured, my friends, in lives and livelihoods in our communities. This is immoral and it is unjust. If Glasgow is to deliver on the promises of Paris, it must close these three gaps. So I ask to you, what must we say to our people living on the front line in the Caribbean, in Africa, in Latin America, in the Pacific, when both ambition and regrettably, some of the needed faces at Glasgow are not present? What excuse should we give for the failure? In the words of that Caribbean icon, Eddie Grant, will they mourn us on the front line? When will we, as world leaders across the world, address the pressing issues that are truly causing our people angst and worry, whether it is climate or whether it is vaccines? Simply put, when will leaders lead? Our people are watching, and our people are taking note. And are we really going to leave Scotland without the resolve and the ambition that is sorely needed to save lives and to save our planet? How many more voices and how many more pictures of people must we see on these screens without being able to move? Or are we so blinded and hardened that we can no longer appreciate the cries of humanity? I have been saying to Barbadians for many years that many hands make light work. Today, we need the correct mix of voices, ambition, and action. Do some leaders in this world believe that they can survive and thrive on their own? Have they not learned from the pandemic? Can there be peace and prosperity if one third of the world literally prospers and the other two thirds of the world live under siege and face calamitous threats to our well-being? What the world needs now, my friends, is that which is within the ambit of less than 200 persons who are willing and prepared to lead. Leaders must not fail those who elect them to lead. And I say to you, there is a sword that can cut down this Gordian knot, and it has been wielded before. The central banks of the wealthiest countries engaged in $25 trillion of quantitative easing in the last 13 years. $25 trillion. Of that, $9 trillion was in the last 18 months to fight the pandemic. Had we used that $25 trillion to purchase bonds, to finance the energy transition, or the transition of how we eat, or how we move ourselves in transport, we would now today be reaching that 1.5 degrees limit that is so vital to us. I say to you today in Glasgow that an annual increase in the SDRs of $500 billion a year for 20 years, put in a trust to finance the transition, is the real gap, Secretary General, that we need to close, not the $50 billion being proposed for adaptation. And if $500 billion sounds big to you, guess what? It is just 2% of the $25 trillion. This is the sword we need to wield. Our excitement 1 hour into this event is far less than it was 6 months ago leading up to this event. Can we, with those voices and these speeches from Sir David and others, find it within ourselves to get the resolve to bring Glasgow back on track? Or do we leave today believing that it was a failure before it starts? Our world, my friends, stands at a fork in the road, one no less significant than when the United Nations was formed in 1945. But then, the majority of our countries here did not exist. We exist now. The difference is we want to exist 100 years from now. And if our existence is to mean anything, then we must act in the interests of all of our people who are dependent on us. And if we don't, we will allow the path of greed and selfishness to sow the seeds of our common destruction. The leaders of today, not 2030, not 2050, must make this choice. It is in our hands. And our people and our planet need it more than ever. We can work with who is ready to go, because the train is ready to leave. And those who are not yet ready, we need to continue to ring circle and to remind them that their people, not our people, but their citizens, need them to get on board as soon as possible. Code red to the G7 countries. Code red to the G20. Earth to COP, that's what it said. Earth to COP. For those who have eyes to see, for those who have ears to listen, and for those who have a heart to feel, 1.5 is what we need to survive.
And so you hear me, Motley. I mean, the message is very clear. Listen, G7, G20, y'all come here. Everyone want hug up. Everybody got on necktie. Y'all look smart. All of this bunch of stuff ain't helping us out. Y'all raised $25 billion over the last couple of years, and y'all do $9 billion in the last couple of months. If we had that kind of commitment with the reversing of global warming, we wouldn't be here having the same conversation we had the 25 other times. This is Glasgow 26. That means we've been here 25 times. And y'all don't look as excited this time as y'all did the last time. I ain't come here to talk too long. We dying, and we need y'all to commit to reversing the behavior that we've had over the last couple of years. The big fellas, y'all create all the pollution, while me and my Caribbean neighbors suffer all of the travesty. I have in studio with me this morning a former UWI law student, Where in Barbados was that? She went to Barbados. Yolanda Rule is with me this morning. Miss Rule, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Hold on, let's see if I can fix that mic. Try it one more time.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, yes. Testing, microphone test. And I also have on my Zoom call, he is Carlos Baptiste. He's a former radio personality over there in Barbados and somebody that is avidly watching with the goings on of the battle for Barbados. That's what I've called it. He's with me this morning. Mr. Baptiste, how are you? Is he still there, Kermit? I think I can hear him.
Are you? Yes. Can you hear me?
Good. Perfect.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Good.
Good morning to you and good morning to your listeners as well.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've heard my opening salvo. Mia Motley has been, I mean, if you ask any one of the Caribbean countries around this place, and even if you even ask a couple of the people in the Americas, they would all sign up or line up to go and vote to have her be leader of the Caribbean, right? But is that translating on the ground in Barbados? Mr. Baptiste?
But that leader of the Caribbean, that's very interesting that you've put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Mia Motley, she is a very charismatic person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes her stand out a lot to persons in the Caribbean. Whether or not it's translating on the ground in Barbados, in the last election in 2018, her party won all of the parliamentary seats, all the constituencies. And I think that as we are mere hours from the next election here in Barbados, we are seeing that she's popular with a lot of the the other parties, and there are many others. We have the former government in the Democratic Labour Party. They are still in a rebuild.
When you say a rebuild, what do you mean?
On the heels of the Barbados Labour Party winning all 30 seats in 2018, many persons were, put it that way, with the Democratic Labour Party, they would have been the incumbents at the time, and they lost to the Mia Motley-led Barbados Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
So, the leader of the party in Frondell Stewart, he that made up his cabinet. They moved away from politics, and so you had you have a brand new leader now in Verla Graves
Depisa. Yeah.
You have fresh faces, new candidates. There also has been a reach back for some of the candidates that were a part of that the administration of Frondell Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. I think most of them are, I don't know if they're finished with active politics or they've just taken a back seat, but rebuild under Verla. So you have new faces, new candidates, a lot of, dare I say, some new ideas, mm-hmm. some is per se, but just ideas that were around in 2018, between 2010 and 2018. And some of the ideas have been kind of tweaked and represented to the public. And so in a few hours, come tomorrow morning, from 6 o'clock, we're going to find out how exactly the Barbadian public feels about the Democratic Labour Party, as well as the other parties, because we have the opposition leader in Joseph Abeli.
Mm-hmm.
He's joined forces with, and who used to be a part of the administration. I think that was under Owen Arthur.
All right.
And they've formed the APP.
Yeah, which is a yep. a coalition between the PDP and the UPP.
And so, you know, it's going to be really interesting. Of course, you still have Solutions Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the slate last time, but they didn't do so well.
Okay.
And so we will see how Barbadians feel. Less than 5 years on from the last elections, whether or not Mia Motley still has that groundswell and that, you know,
that
sway.
Public appeal.
Yeah.
What is the voting population down there?
Oh gosh. I think that's maybe like 100,000+. Don't quote me on that. But
about 100,000.
It's about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have in studio.
Probably a little more than that.
Okay. I have in studio with me a she's actually Bahamian, but she went to school in Barbados around the time of the rise of Mia Motley, right? I call her an arm length student of Mia Motley. Yolanda Roll is with me. She attended UE down there. Was that 98?
97.
So yeah. It's been about 100 years now.
About.
Notwithstanding that, though, you've had an opportunity to watch this person transcend from their days as an attorney. You yourself went to study law down there at UE. I imagine, I'll tell you something you may not know, she went to school with Carl Bethel. Yeah. And for whatever it is worth, the general tone I get when I talk to people that have seen the transition of Mia Motley from where she was 97 to now circa 2021, they all feel very comfortable that, I mean, there's really no one in Barbados that could really beat this woman if she wants to be prime minister. Do you think that is still the general tone people take with Mia Motley these days?
Well, in fact, like you said, when I went to Barbados, like I said, Mia Motley was, I wouldn't say she was a no name, but she was just, I guess, taking on her political prowess. And I always watched her because, as Baptiste indicated, she was very charismatic, but she was not charismatic without substance. Mm-hmm. Because we know in politics, we can get charisma with just a bunch of fluff.
Yeah.
But here I observed, coming from the Bahamas, I watched because we had female politicians here, but the charisma that Mia Motley brought, I didn't see it in the Bahamas.
Right.
And so I became enamored by that.
Okay.
And she had the charisma, but there was substance. And I'm like, this woman is in, this ain't just smoke. This fire, smoke, this is the
some
whole
wood.
Package.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I paid particular attention to her. In fact, not even being interested in her legal ability, but just seeing how she was now what I viewed as charting a course into a predominantly male arena. Because I would have been in Barbados during the time of the Barbading Elopendon, which is Owen Arthur.
Right.
And, you know, he was large Barbadians. Mm-hmm. But here I saw this woman who was now walking against the grain, you know. And what she, for me, brought to the Barbadians that I interacted with and seeing the pretty much the atmosphere there was, she was making it believable that we can come out of a man-created box. Mm. And that grabbed my attention. She was never one that was, in my view, appeared to be satisfied with what existed.
Okay.
It was always, let's move the proverbial goalpost. We can accomplish more. And I said from 1997, even as you and I would have had discussions over the years, when 2018 rolled around and she won by the landslide, despite going through the whole being appointed leader, getting the vote of no confidence from your party,
and
going through all of that, I remained steadfast in my belief. I said, this lady is going to rise as the Prime Minister of Barbados one day. And so when it happened, I think you were like the first person I messaged.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I did not tell you.
Yeah.
That this would happen.
But she was so embattled, though. I mean, like, she was definitely not without fire. Like, it was definitely not. You know, we have this difficulty here, Baptiste. I don't know how well you follow Bahamian politics, but we have this difficulty here, like you've alluded to, where Bahamian female politicians, and I understand you can't call them female no more, woman politician, right? They never have both. So the ones that have the vigor, and then the ones that are, like, for instance, look, Mia Motley gives me Loretta Butler Turner vibes.
But absolutely. Absolutely.
Only in a more vivacious kind of way, right? So in the Bahamas, we see Loretta Butler Turner, and typically the notion is what this woman problem is.
Right, right.
Mia somehow gets people to say, I like Mia.
Yes.
And I want to go with her. Albeit she is, you know, having very strong arm political, you know, techniques and tactics that I think is, in a way, inordinately accepted for her, and it's not accepted that way for all women.
I agree, and here's what I think it is. Lee's aggression comes with inclusion, whereas in the Bahamas, when we look at a Loretta Butler Turner, we don't see or feel the level of inclusion that we ought to feel. So when Mia's aggression comes and Mia speaks, you almost feel like you're a part of what she's...
Yeah, like Adi. Yeah, like, your favorite Adi.
Like you feel like she's talking for me as well. Like when this happens, I'm going to be a part of it. And I think because Barbadians, I love my Bayesian people. I love them. However, the Barbadians are not as, in comparison to Bahamian, the temperament is not as aggressive and clapbackish. Mm-hmm. And so when you have an aggressive intellectual woman that steps to the fore in Barbados, based on what I observe, mm-hmm. there's not this outright rejection, like black crab mentality, yeah. get her back down yeah. to the bottom of this pen, mm-hmm. as we have here. You now see the young ladies and the youth, like when I was in university, everybody is now looking and listening to what is she going to say. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Mia that was attractive was, despite the opposition, she remained relevant. Mm-hmm. She remained relevant. And even when she was, by what was happening politically, told to go and sit your tail in the corner,
right.
she refused.
She was resilient.
Exactly. Yeah. She refused.
She wouldn't die.
She refused to accept that. Yeah. Even to the point where the late former Prime Minister Arthur himself had to recognize, like, listen, there is a buoyancy about you that we just can't tame.
Right, right.
So like they say, you can't beat it, let's join it.
So, you know, here's the thing, right? I think there is one thing also that you see from her. And if you're just joining me, I'm not talking about the Bahamas today. I like Mia Motley. I'm talking about Mia Motley. Oh, well, Guardian gave me a show. You should have had one. And it's because I watch her maneuvers throughout the Caribbean, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're just joining me, Yolanda Roll is my guest. And, of course, Carlos Baptiste, who is a radio personality, former and an educator in Barbados, as we talk a little bit about the election that's less than 24 hours away now, right? It's right after Christmas, right after International PLP Day. It is, I mean, nothing is going on in the world right now except for this election, right? Which is why I'm watching it. But the difference in the behavior of Mia Motley when you consider Caribbean leaders. Caribbean leaders, in my mind, do a very good job of tap dancing. Mm. So you take them to the German leader and they go over there and say, hello, Mr. Yeah. German, give me something, please. Right? You don't ever get that kind of vibe
no,
from Mia.
No.
Mia walks in the room and she says, yeah, I know you got 300 million people.
Yes.
And all I got is 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what I need from you.
Yes.
All right? And I, at this scene, don't take this as me asking
See,
you.
Right.
Right? This is right. just me making a request of demand.
Yes.
Is what this is,
yes.
right? So I am gently demanding.
Yeah.
But this ain't like me begging.
Begging, no.
All right? And
no.
and that is a different tone. If,
yeah.
if you recall, during the tenure of President Trump, mm-hmm. when the 8 Caribbean leaders were invited to come now,
mm-hmm.
I will never forget the picture. And interestingly
yes.
enough, a bunch of 6'2" dudes.
And she is within breath length.
Yeah, but Mr. Trump gets one.
Yeah.
What the fella from Jamaica name was there? Human mm-hmm. Menace was there. Ain't
yeah.
none of these fellas under 6 foot.
Yeah.
And they all sitting down in chairs.
Yes.
Like, we waiting on the president. You wasn't gonna get me and Motley to sit down
no.
like that. I could
yeah.
just I could see her
yeah.
saying, "Now tell the president I had to leave." Right. And that in itself is different.
Yeah.
But now, Mr. Baptiste, I'm trying to figure out, then, why isn't that coming out of Barbados as a more echoing shout? Like, why are Bayesians not so enamored
right.
by the person that has led Barbados to be the front runner during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
the front runner during the response to natural disasters, and now, basically, other than the fact that our prime minister had the quote of the day, the front runner at Glasgow,
right?
Right? Like, there have been more
yeah.
Mia Motley moments that have
yeah.
come out of Glasgow than any other Caribbean leader I've seen.
Yeah.
Why are Bayesians, though, not looking at the national pride that creates, and hands down saying, well, there's no need to go with nobody else? Mr. Baptiste, are you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Can you help me then? Can you help me then with that mathematical equation? Shouldn't we see more swells? I talked to you last night. The rallies seem to be waning. I know that COVID is real, but like I've pointed out to you, Mr. Baptiste, COVID was in September when we had our election, and these people over here had the park full, right? Why are Bayesians not resounding in their support for somebody that has been so impressive internationally?
Things that I think is impacting this, or not notoriety, perhaps the swell that you expect to see would be COVID. No.
I think you're having a difficulty with your mic. Go on.
What the government has handled COVID is one of the reasons that Barbadians did wither. Now, that said, I think they've done well.
Mm-hmm.
They provide things, I think, that are one of a kind throughout the entire Caribbean, like a response unit and setup in terms of a place that COVID patients can go to. Not just talking hospital, but I'm talking primary care facility. So persons who are affected by COVID and had a really bad response, you know, there was a place, the government provided a place for them to go to. But I think that one of the things where the administration fell down was in the implementation of the curfews. Mm-hmm. So if you check Twitter, if you check Facebook, if you check any of these social media platforms where Barbadians are speaking, you will see that a lot of people they're not really enthused about the Prime Minister said earlier, when the put in place, is that, you know, she has the responsibility and the capability of applying the brakes when she needs to, or applying the gas when she needs to. And I think that most people right now, I think part of it has to do with COVID fatigue, pandemic fatigue. But I also think that a lot of Barbadians are like, okay, well, thank you for all that you've done throughout the pandemic, but we also feel like we could be moving on, especially as certain parts of the world are considering make a not pandemic anymore. And Barbados being the country, the leader that we have, a leader who is, like you guys have been saying, out there in really standing out amongst them. You know, I think Barbados feel like, okay, well, yeah, we can move on now. It's time that maybe we start to approach, like the rest of the world, COVID with an endemic outlook rather than still in the midst of a pandemic. So that, and I honestly think, and this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
and this is my point for me, I think one of the other things is an election in 2022.
Say that one more time for me.
Phase of an election in 2022.
Okay, go
on. Demand it, and in such an overwhelming way in 20. I, Carlos Batiste, was not looking for an election in 2022. I honestly thought that the Prime Minister would have perhaps maybe gone into her fourth year and then called an election, but here we are 3 years in and...
So you're saying that the people of Barbados are probably not responding to this election because in their minds they weren't really looking for an election. But wouldn't that suggest then that the people were comfortable? I mean, because I hear the whole COVID response fatigue, etc. And I can tell you, as somebody that watches international news, that for a long time, even to my chagrin, I couldn't understand how were we letting Barbados outpace us. We have a bigger economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever it's worth, you all were. Then if the response internationally, again, to the COVID response by Barbados has been one that has been so impressive, then I get it. The election is called early, but you guys should have been so fond of the performance of the government. You just outlined the establishment of the COVID center, et cetera, et cetera. But even if she called it, you'd say, okay, well, let's elect her and let's get back.
Can I weigh in there? What I think from my optics, mm-hmm. what I think is happening is what I think happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we became enamored by our Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
we now feel that our Wonder Woman has now gone into the fight for getting the people who she has been sent to deliver.
Ah, okay.
And so there's now no consultation and no inclusion, the inclusion that we once felt, we don't feel anymore.
Okay.
And so it's almost like you're running a one-man band. You're mm-hmm. being reckless. So now you're not concerned about us now. You're bigger, you know? Mm. And I think that's the temperament of what's happening. And as we did in the Bahamas, it's like, yes, we loved you. You are our Moses. You took us out of Egypt. Yeah. However,
but we ain't in Egypt no more.
We're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Now you got to come back to us and let's now have the conversation.
Okay.
ask us whether we want to be freed from our colonial heritage. Mm-hmm. Ask us now, you know. And I think the conversation is what's not been happening. And it's now maybe being misread by my fellow Bajans, as even having conversations with a few of them. It's being misread right now. A dictatorship.
She creating a Mia Motley.
Yeah, this is Mia's kingdom. Yeah. And y'all are the little minions that are in Mia's kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, like I say, the one thing in life that's constant is the fact that there will always be change.
Sure.
But it's the one thing that we're never always ready for. Yeah. Never.
So is a sin then progressivism? Can you be chided, can you be chastised for being overly progressive to a people whose national anthem suggests that they want progression, whose trajectory throughout the history of their country has suggested that they wanted progression? I mean, how then do you castigate the progressor for being progressive to people who claim that they want progression?
You do that when the people don't feel like they have a voice anymore.
Mm.
And I agree. Progression is what we're after, and all of these things, like you say, the accolades are coming from the international platform. You know, even when we were here, we heard, you know, the Bahamas is doing this. We've been downgraded.
Mm-hmm.
But on the ground, we're like, we haven't had a sensible conversation in about 3 years.
Right.
You know, it's us. You think that is how the for me, the greatest thing that now we will see tomorrow, how it impacts her, is the people feel that they've been silenced in her ear.
Mm.
And so it's almost like, what I know what's best for you. Because, you know, y'all ain't too smart no more. You know, okay. I've developed and grown in this now.
Yeah.
I know what we want. The world thinks I'm smart and
yeah.
I'm super and I'm superb.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all what needs to happen. Albeit, sometimes when you go and have the conversation, people may agree with you, you
mm-hmm.
know. But we, the quote-unquote, the little man, sometimes we just like to know that our voice, however minimal in decibel levels it is,
mm-hmm.
we still need to know that. I'm hearing you. I'm listening. And I think especially because a lot of my counterparts, and even the Christian church in Barbados, there was a big uproar after the changing to be in the Republic.
Okay.
Because it's like, you never went to the people. You never asked us whether we wanted this.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you leading? Who are you leading?
Mm-hmm.
And are you leading us like we thought you would have been
Or have we segregated dictatorial power to you?
Absolutely. And I think that's the phobia that's happening now. And I don't think she has the level of influence on the ground that she did in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
How far that has dwindled, I don't know. I don't make it a practice calling elections or making electoral predictions. But I do know for a fact that she's lost a lot of the confidence of the people that once said, threw the palm branches in the middle of the street
and sang Hosanna.
Now a lot of them are saying, crucify
her. She has 30 seats, right?
Oh.
She needs 16 to win.
Yeah.
Losing 14 can't be that easy,
yeah.
right? You must have had to have been really bad, I imagine, to lose 14. But hey, you know, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
I've seen worse, right? And so now I wonder...
Let me jump in here just a moment.
Sure.
I don't think that in terms of like chastisement of the little man or anything like that, I honestly believe that come tomorrow, we will see... feel about Mia Motley. One thing that you probably know, I don't know if you know this or not, is that she is referred to on the ground here in Barbados as Auntie Mia. Now, that doesn't speak to, you know, a person who is so beyond the reach.
I can't hear your microphone, Baptiste.
I was saying that as a person is referred to in such a way, Auntie Mia, that suggests, you know, some kind of familial relationship, some kind of endearment to people, and that's how she is regarded here in Barbados, as Auntie Mia. If there's a press conference call and the Prime Minister is on it, people pay attention, people listen in. And so I think that in the tomorrow, we will see, I suspect that we may see one or two seats, the swap 2018 has dwindled at it. You know, it still can't get her those 16 seats. I do think
So I hear you, right?
Just watching it.
I hear you, right?
Yeah.
And here is the thing I always ask people that do the stuff that we do, which is comment on political goings on, right? You know, in the elections that we had here in Nassau, I remember saying to people that said to me, oh, the FNM would win by at least 22 to X amount, right? And at the time, they had 35 seats. Mm-hmm. And I always ask this question, which state team they could lose? because if you could answer that for me,
right,
then you could assure me or give me some confidence that you will win the election. If you say to me, oh, we will lose 2, maybe 3 or 4 seats, then the question is, which of the four? Because I've listened to her and St. Joseph, and she sound like they could win that. Mm-hmm. I listened to her and St. Mary, she mm-hmm. sound like they could win that. I listened to her and St. Michael, what is it, West and North?
North, yeah.
And she sound like, man, that in the bag. So
that's the Barbadian Anglistan.
She did say that. She said to the people down there, she said, listen, the DLP had y'all for all them years, and they ain't treat y'all good. I'm so glad y'all give me a chance, and I'm asking y'all to teeth little love again, right? They love y'all, and I want y'all to teeth some love from me out. But the question is, which of the seats will the BLP not win? Because mm-hmm. unless you could tell me that, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you find yourself in. And that is why winning so big is always such a problem,
yeah.
right? Because you win so big
yeah.
that people say, oh, well, if you lose a couple, you could be okay. Well, which couple? Because I will lose that,
yeah.
right? And I get it. For the health of democracy, you always want it to be a very strong opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And even with no opposition, I believe that she could have been a more totalitarian kind of leader with that kind of majority in the parliament, but you didn't see that, right?
Yeah.
So I think there are some discussions that she saw had been happening in Barbados for 15 years around the coffee table. She had an opportunity, unabated opportunity, to create those
yeah.
things, and she
Make
said, while I got it now,
Make it
I come out here to wield the big stick. If you want to stop me,
yeah.
too bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was all bad. I mean, and so to Baptiste's point, I hear it. She's referred to as Auntie Mia by many of the Bayesian people. But again, I don't know if outside of the fact that I think her social media presence has been amazing, right? Like, and it's Mia Motley. I don't know if I'm that bad. Yeah. But I don't know if I see this. I don't know if I see Bayesians responding in that kind of way. Even as I watch the feeds, right? At best, 148 people,
mm-hmm.
maybe, versus what we see during our electoral times, where it's like, if you ain't got 2,500 people, you're joking.
Right.
And so I don't know, is she translating in Barbados? That is the thing that I'm anxious to see tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Baptiste.
Well, I'm glad that you kind of raised the point there about the streams and the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you to watch the meetings that happen tonight, particularly these meetings that happen tonight, because
right.
Barbadians are the kind of people that will support meetings, end of election campaigning meetings. So you're going to see that tonight. And also pay attention to the numbers that are watching out as well. So while you may only see 150 people outside on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and I largely suspect that depends on where she might be, there are thousands watching, and you can see that a lot. And it's not only the Barbados Labour Party, you can see that as well with the other parties, the Democratic Labour Party. While their numbers are not as great seen in terms of streaming, live streaming, I should say, because I don't know what the numbers are, like people maybe go and watch after.
Mm-hmm.
In the live streaming, you know, the numbers may not be as great, but I can tell you for sure that Barbadians tend to go out to these meetings that are at the end of the campaign period. So tonight's meetings, I expect them to be very well attended, even in the midst of COVID. You know, people will do what they have to do in terms of social distance,
mm-hmm.
Physical distancing, I beg your pardon, and wearing their masks and, you know, making sure that they're well protected. But I suspect that we will see tonight and the amount of people watching at home. And like most Barbadians, I'm really excited about what's going to happen tomorrow and
mm-hmm.
what happens beyond that. And you spoke to the Prime Minister has been, you know, talking to Barbadians and telling them, you know, I know that you guys have a sense of fairness, and Barbadians do have a sense of fairness. But she I thought it was interesting that she said, but I'm asking you to, like you said, give us more love, as you put it.
Yeah.
Give us more love another time around.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I'm really interested to see how the elections turn out, you know, come late tomorrow night or early Thursday morning and see what the spread of seats is.
Are you confident enough to make a projection? She needs 16 to win.
I am not a political scientist in any stretch of the imagination. I am barely an armchair observer, probably even less than you guys. But I think that she will get back to 16. Okay. Beg your pardon. I think that she will get back to 16. That she retain
to retain the government.
But I have a question. Really beyond
Baptiste, my question to you is, do you feel she's going to retain the 16 by active participation in the electoral process or by frustrated voters not going? Like, kind of like what we kind of saw in parts here. Do you feel the 16 is going to be by blatant, we support you,
we support you,
or it's going to be the other
side? Anybody else here to vote for us to be staying home?
Exactly.
Question. And both parties have been encouraging. I say both parties because traditionally Barbados has been, you know, Barbados Labour Party, Democratic Labour Party. But of course, now we have all these other parties.
Mm-hmm.
So let me stop saying both parties.
Mm-hmm.
So all the parties have been encouraging people to come out and vote. Of course, there is COVID, and I cannot tell you. I would be wrong to come on the show and not say that COVID is going to have an impact on voting numbers.
Mm.
Because there are people who would probably want to go out, but they are elderly and they recognize that maybe they might be putting their safety at risk. And so impacts them. How they deal with that, I'm not sure.
Appreciate it. Baptiste, we're smack dab out of time. You hear that? That's my music.
I'm just going to say, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I can't really answer that. With any definitiveness, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Appreciate it very much. I've had Carlos Baptiste with me, Yolanda Rule. I mean, she's such a resplendent guest. I mean, she must have come from good stock. Anyway, that's my time. You hear my music. I'm Levan Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Carlos Baptiste, thank you again so much all the way from Barbados. Yolanda Rule, a former student in Barbados. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news that happens now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.